The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you for that. I appreciate Mrs. Hernandez. You know, her and her precious husband does a great job over in the Spanish department, and he is our interpreter for the Spanish and does a great job. Also does when we do the Lord's Supper and does interpreting here. We used to call them interrupters is what we used to call them, but when you're good at it, you earn the name of being an interpreter instead of an interrupter, and so he has gone from being an interrupter to an interpreter and has earned that for sure. Let me speak to you tonight as we have time together on the danger of falling out on God. The danger of falling out on God. Notice back, if you will, in the book of Acts chapter 20, you'll see in verse 6 that here you'll see that Paul is now sailing. He's sailing from Philippi. He's coming over to Troas. It's a five-day journey. And then when he gets to Troas, he is going to be there, according to the scriptures, for 7 days. So here he's going to be there. He's going to abide there. He's going to be in this place for 7 days. Well, the first day of the week in verse 7, you'll see that when he gets there, the disciples are coming together and they're going to break bread. Now, isn't that something? So they come together and they're going to eat. They're going to have a time of fellowship. You notice the cup is not mentioned here. And you'll find out that where the cup is not mentioned, it's not talking about the observance of the Lord's Supper. It's talking about old-fashioned fellowship. So as soon as he gets to his destination, they have the first day of the week there. The disciples are going to come together, and they're going to fellowship together, and they're going to have preaching. Now, can I tell you what makes a really good day is when you have fellowship and preaching all in the same day. That makes a really good day. But the Bible says that they came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them, says, ready to depart on the morrow. All right, and so he's going to be there. Maybe this was, of course, the first day of the week. Maybe he got there the latter part of the week, and so it's going to go all the way through. It's going to come up, of course, going into the very next first day of the week. And so maybe that's how the 7 days were. Maybe it was something else that came up. We do know that he was there for 7 days. We understand this, that before he departs on the morrow, he just believes, I need to preach to him. Now, whether this is the last time or the first time that he preached to him, I don't know. I do know this, that he preached to him. He's getting ready to leave the very next day. The Bible says, and continued his speech until midnight. And so it might be that he's going to leave early the next morning and thought, man, I need to give them everything I can give them while I've got the energy to give them it. And so he preached up until midnight. The Bible says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber, and they were there gathered together. And so the Bible talks about how this young man, we'll read in a minute, he fell down, and the Bible talks about from the third law. All right, so I'm thinking sort of like a barn, perhaps. Maybe the Apostle Paul is down here in the base of the barn, and then there's tiers. I know that that there's a church that I've seen recently, a very large church that has 5 balconies. And so they have the ground floor and they have 5 balconies. You know, it sits roughly about 40 to 50,000 people that this particular church has. And so I've seen buildings, I've seen structures that have not just one loft, but they may have 2 lofts or 3 lofts or 4 lofts. Or 5 lofts. And so this young man, of course, is up there, and the Bible says that there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. So they being in the upper loft. So he is there in that upper chamber. He's in the upper loft. Maybe they're carrying on. Maybe something happens where one of them is telling a joke, hits him, and he falls backward, being half asleep. By the way, the farther you get away from the preaching, the more that things could happen to distract you from the preaching. Right, evident of the fact, by being recorded in the scriptures, he did fall asleep. He did fall asleep. I doubt if you're going to sit on the front row and fall asleep because you're too close to the preacher, and the preacher will come down and wake you up. So I doubt very seriously that you would fall asleep. But if you fall asleep in the balcony, first off, I can't see your eyes. So I don't know if you're sleeping. I don't know if you're closing your eyes. I don't know if you're meditating. I don't know if you're praying. I have no idea. Plus, I'm not going to leave here and come all the way up there and say hi. Okay? All right? The Bible says here that they were gathered together. The Bible says, and there sat, it says, in the window, a certain young man named Eutychus. The Bible says, being fallen, it says, into a deep sleep. Now, sometimes I fall into a deep sleep, and when I do, if I'm laying on my back, which is a rarity, I snore. The neighbors can hear me. The dogs begin to bark. Birds leave the neighborhood. I snore. The Bible says, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. The Bible says, and fell down. First he sunk down. By the way, listen to me. When you sink down and don't pay attention, then you go further down. Further down. Don't forget that Jonah went down into the belly of the whale. Okay? Here's what the Bible says. He sunk down with sleep and fell down, it says, from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Now, can I tell you, there is no more apostles today. So if you fall out of the balcony, I run down, this is probably not going to happen to you. You'll get that after a while. And when he therefore was come up again, the Bible said, and had broken bread and eaten, and the Bible says, and had talked, it says, a long while, even till the break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. So let me speak to you on the danger of falling out on God. You remember over in the book of Matthew, the Bible says in chapter 26 and verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your spirit wants to do the right thing. Your spirit wants to be spiritual. Your spirit can't wait for church, can't wait for preaching, can't wait for godly singing, can't wait for old-fashioned fellowship. But your flesh wants nothing to do with it. Your flesh would rather be home tonight. Your flesh would rather not be in church tonight. Your flesh would say, you know, I'd rather do something else. But that's not what your spirit says. Your spirit, when right with God, will identify with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. When your spirit, right with God, identifies with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, God will change your life. That's why there needs to be spirit-filled preaching and spirit-filled, listen to this, listening. You can't blame it on the preacher if he preaches the Bible and you don't change. In order for you to change, you have to receive the Bible. Somebody says, well, the preacher preaches it, and I'm just not growing. That's your fault.
Amen.
That's your fault. See, God's word is not going to return void. The Bible talks how in the Bible there were some that had dull, they were dull. It uses this dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. In other words, they didn't hear it the way they should have heard it. Can I tell you, in order for God to send a revival, both the preacher and the people in the pews need to be right with God. When a person is right with God, they'll listen. When a person is right with God, they'll respond. When a person is right with God, they will want to hear that which the Word of God will give them. Now, God says this, that's very wise to watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. Why? Because the spirit indeed is willing. It's willing, but the flesh is weak. Bible also says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So every time you hear the word of God, here's what we know. If you listen right, it's going to be profitable to you. Every time you hear the word of God, it's going to be profitable to you. All right? Now, let's study this. We're going to see three aspects tonight of this story about how a person can fall out on God. Let me give you aspect number one. What causes it? The causing of the falling out. Notice, if you will, he was careless. He was careless. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that here it is. It's at midnight. Here he is. He's sitting up there. He's got his friends all around him. And by the way, when you're sitting with your friends and your friends do not pay attention during the preaching, what you need to do is turn to them and go, shh. Do not let them distract you from the truth. When a friend is talking, first off, let me help you just with a little bit of respect, okay? When somebody's up, they're giving a speech, they're preaching, they're presenting. That's why I tell people, listen, when those ladies or those gentlemen are playing the piano, man, it's rude to talk. Put in 2, 3, 4 hours of practicing a piece, and all of a sudden they get up there to give it their very best for Jesus, and we ought to pay attention. Amen. Ought to pay attention. Preacher gets up here, he begins to preach. Hey, it would do you good just to listen to God for once and hear what God has to say. The reason so many people have messed up lives is because they want to run their life so much, they don't want to hear what God has to say. So here we see, here he is. He's up there. He's with some friends, no doubt. I don't know what they're doing. Might have been boring. That's why he fell into a deep sleep. It might have been that they were just carrying on and he was so tired. Hey, maybe he worked all day. Maybe he worked all day and he was exasperated. He was tired. His body was worn out. Maybe he just came in from the farm, working out in the field. Maybe he was doing a labor's other type of duties and his body was just worn down to a frazzle. And so he decides, I don't want to interrupt. I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep. Therefore, out of respect, I'm going to sit up there so that I don't bother anybody. Maybe that was him. Maybe it was that he was just used to being somebody that sits as far away from the preaching as he could. You do understand that the Bible says that they were gathered together. You do understand that they chose where they sat. You do understand that this is a young man. And you do understand that he had fallen into a deep sleep. And we also understand that the preacher was long-winded preaching. And by the way, I have heard long-winded preaching. I have. I've sat under some long-winded preachers. I have. I remember J. Harold Smith, Brother Heminger, that's the book I recommend on fasting. And J. Harold Smith, he was a doctor, a medical doctor for many years. God called him to preach. He left the medical field. He went into evangelism. God used him in a mighty way. He had one sermon that just had the touch of God on it like no other sermon. It was called God's Three Deadlines. And Dr. J. Harold Smith would travel up and down America preaching God's Three Deadlines. Hundreds of thousands of people walked down the aisle. And he would tell you at the beginning of that message, don't be in a hurry. I have preached this message thousands of times. And I will tell you that tonight's message is going to last no shorter than an hour and a half to 2 hours. So if you've come to church to get out, you're not going to make it. And then he would also say, the doors have already been locked. Now, can I tell you that here he was. He was sitting in a church, sitting up in the balcony, maybe away from the crowd, got some fellows around him, falls down into a deep sleep. Paul is long-winded preaching. He sinks down and he falls out of the loft. You notice he fell out. He did not fall in. That might have meant he was sitting too close to the edge. When you run with the wrong crowd, if you're not careful, you can get too close to the edge. I'd rather have a friend that's too hot for Jesus than somebody that's not hot enough. I'd rather be around somebody that shouts in church than somebody that's always pouting in church. I'd rather be around somebody that they always go to the altar than somebody that never goes to the altar, and the altar would probably leave if they came in fear of what they might do.
I'm saying tonight, here he is. He was a careless person. He was somebody that lived his life in danger. Can I tell you, over in Psalm 1 in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God said, that's a blessed man. What's that mean? Happy. Happy. God said, I can tell you how to be happy. You don't walk with the people that's going to cause you to stumble, cause you to fall, cause you to trip, cause you to lose your attention on the message. Hey, thank God for people that point you the right direction, set the right example, be in the right place, go to the right direction. Thank God for them. You know, dangerous is it to walk in places of that which is compromised. Dangerous is it to listen to the world's counsel. Dangerous is it to sit among the liberals who are the scoffers about that which is the true and the living word of God. Danger is it, and dangerous will it always be to associate yourself with the ungodly. But wait a minute, we're not talking about somebody that was just careless in the way he lived, but here was somebody that had just a convenient mind. He just had a convenient mind. He was somebody that said, okay, now look, I'll tell you what, sitting in that window, now you know he got comfortable. You know he got comfortable. And by the way, when you come to church, can I tell you, don't allow yourself to get so comfortable that you fall asleep. If you get used to closing your eyes during the sermon, change your used to. Pay attention. You know, maybe you need to cross your legs, and if you're a man, you got all these weird hairs that's popping everywhere, start pulling them. Maybe if you're a wife and you see the husband is falling asleep, start jabbing him. Start jabbing him. Hey, maybe if your wife is not paying attention and she's falling asleep, hey, just start saying amen. Amen. Now we can watch the wives beside the guys that just said amen. Casual mind. He had a casual mind. Now, by the way, it's that casual mind, or that convenient type of mind, that comfortable mind, if you, and isn't it amazing? You know, we'll go to a ball game. We'll sit in the bad weather. We'll sit on boards that they call bleachers. We'll sit in seats that's uncomfortable, and we'll watch the ball game where you look down there on the field, and they look like a bunch of little ants, and, you know, and we're right there, man. The wind is blowing. The rain is coming. The snow is coming. The ice is hitting. I mean, you were sweating because it's so hot outside in the opposite weather, and man, you're sweating bullets, and you're up there, and it's not a comfortable pew like you have tonight. It's not a comfortable air con like you have tonight. No, you're out there and you're in the heat and you're roaring, man. You're that's my team. Oh, go. Okay. And you stand up with the crowd. Go. Run around the bay. You're almost down there with them. You're in it. Then we come to the church of the living God. And it's like a funeral home. Can I tell you, churches ought not to be dead? You know, when you say, preacher, I'm not used to saying amen in church. Try it. Can I tell you, you might like it. Oh, come on, let's just have fun. You want to? This is church. This is our people. Ready? On a count of three, I want all the men to say amen. You ready? Let's just have fun. Let's just show the devil tonight whose side you're on. You said, preacher, church ought not to be fun. Let's have fun tonight. Okay? On a count of three, I want you to say amen. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Just the men. Leaving you ladies out. We're just going to see if the men can do it. We're going to hear the roar. Okay? The men. You ready? On a count of three. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Ready? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. We even had some kids that said, amen. When you do that, you let everybody know that you agree with it. You do. And look, I'm trying to help you help others. All of a sudden, preacher gets up here and says, hey, just want you to know, one way to heaven, not two, not three, not four, not five, Christ. By the way, if you said amen, that sinner that's sitting next to you all of a sudden says, ooh, he believes it too. Amen. Come on. Amen. Preacher gets up and says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Hey, be separated. Live for God. Be ye holy as God is holy. Amen. Your kid looks at you and says, wow, dad must believe that. You know, saying amen in church can help your family life. Yes, do you know that?
Good.
Do you know that?
Amen.
Hey, I'm not trying to mess with your mind. I'm just trying to reason with you.
Amen.
I'm just trying to reason with you. Okay? All of a sudden, stand up. All of a sudden, father and son. I'm your father now. You're blessed. Straighten up. Here we go. We go forward, we pray together. Every service. Every service. I go up to him as a dad. Hey, come on, son. It's time to pray. Every service. Said, preacher, what do you pray? God bless that preacher. He needs all the help he can get. God bless the deacons. Bless the staff. Help us have more soul winners. God, help our missionaries. God, please protect our country.
Amen.
Man, there's a world you can pray for. But I want to show you something. Watch. I'm not playing church. I'm just showing you something. Ready? Here we go. Here we go. You do that for 10 years with your son. Do this for 20 years with your son.
Amen.
Hey, some of you moms, now I love you, but you could turn up the spirituality just a little bit. Come on.
Come on.
Why is it that your teenage girl has to come and pray on the altar all by herself? Thank you. Hey, why don't you come pray with your daughter? See, here's what we do. We wait until it's necessary. Can I tell you it is necessary? You wait till your kids get out on drugs and then you go crying to God. Now, I love you, but in the name of the Lord, that doesn't make any sense. Come on. Here he is, he's up there, he's sitting by his friends. Doesn't say his mom's up there, doesn't say his friends is up, or doesn't say his dad's up there. He's sitting so close to the edge, when he did fall asleep, he fell out of the window. Didn't fall in church, fell out of church.
Amen.
You can get so close to the edge that you think church is not important. Well, it doesn't matter if I show up late. Doesn't matter if I miss the service. Oh, it doesn't matter. Hey, church ought to be the center of your life when it comes to Jesus Christ. Don't put it second. Don't put it third. Don't put it fourth. Only one institution Jesus Christ created during his earthly, his ministry, that's church. Hey, wait. Believe it or not, you won't believe this. Won't believe this. Brother John will believe this. Brother John is visiting. He'll believe this. You won't believe this. There's church here tonight. But in other places, they don't have Sunday night church. They don't have Wednesday night church. I don't know about you. But I can't get enough of God. I want more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. I'm a preacher. I don't apologize for it. But I preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'll preach in conferences. I'll travel anywhere I can. I will preach. If I can get a crowd together, I'm going to preach. But now listen to me. You know, I listen to preaching all week long. I listening to a sermon has nothing to do with this sermon. I mean, just a total different truth by a man of God this afternoon. Turned him on, listened to him. He preached at me. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Preachers need preaching. I need somebody to tear up my hide. I need somebody to push the button and say, go! Say, preacher, you'll get over it. I've been preaching for 30 years. I've not gotten over it yet. I don't plan to get over it ever. Here he is sitting up there. When he falls out. He had a convenient mind. You ready? Here it is. He had those that did care for him. Watch this, if you will. Those that did care for him. You realize this, because he was who he was, and because he sat where he sat, you know, you think about this, when he fell out, the Bible says, of the third loaf, and by the way, that's quite a drop. Wonder when he woke up. Wonder if he woke up on the way down. By the way, it would be better to wake up than not wake up. But I wonder if he woke up. Wonder if he never woke up. Some people live such backslidden lives, when the train hits them, they never wake up. Come on. Here's what we understand. We understand that there was a reason, a cause for his falling. Maybe he was careless. Maybe he was the one that ran with the scoffers, the liberals. By the way, you run with somebody saying, oh, it's not important. That King James Bible, not important. Living for God, not important. Standing for truth, not important. You know, we ask our teachers around here that are Sunday school teachers, those that sing in the choir, we ask them. As a matter of fact, we get them to sign a commitment form that they'll be faithful to church, they'll go soul winning every week, they'll live for God, they're not going to have rotten music in their life. You know, now wait a minute. Look, you can tell when somebody starts to backslide when all of a sudden those commitments that they made to God become unimportant. And all of a sudden they start to go back on those and say, well, you know, that was just a, no, that was a commitment you made to God. See, we forget we're not playing church. We forget this is not about just a preacher getting up and giving you a sermonette from a kitchenette because of the fact that he's tired of girls dressing like majorettes, guys driving around Corvettes, and deacons smoking cigarettes. This is not something like that. Hey, this is that which is the perfect Word of God. It's preserved. We've got it. Hey, let's not take it lightly. Hey, raise a generation for God. Stop playing. One foot in, other foot out. Halfway in, halfway out. Half on fire for God. One day, the other day, not half on fire for God. Get all the way in. Serve Christ. I'm saying there's a cause. There's reasons he fell out. Then there's consequences. Watch this. The consequences was, no doubt, as he was falling asleep, he missed something. You ever think about it? He missed something. So while he was... God had something for him. Man, I long for the day when people come to church excited about church. I long for the day. I long for the day that we come to church and, man, we want God to give us something and God to change our lives and God to get a hold of us and God to do a work inside of us. I long for that. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. The Bible says that he sat in that window. This is that certain young man by the name of Eutychus, and he fought into a deep sleep, and Paul was long-winded preaching, and he sunk down into the sleep, and he fell down, it says, from the third law, and then they had taken him up dead. So what do we understand about that particular verse, the consequences of falling out on God? First off, there is personal pain. Buddy, when he hit the sidewalk, it hurt. When you fall down and you know you didn't have to fall down, but you chose to fall down, it hurts. By the way, it doesn't just hurt you. It hurts those around you. You know, everybody looks up to somebody. Little kids look up to bigger kids. Bigger kids look up to teenagers. Teenagers look up to college-age kids. College-age kids look up to older men and women. Everybody's looking up to somebody. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody came to me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, man, I couldn't believe it. Somebody pulled in the parking lot, one of our leaders, young person said, and preacher, they had their window down. They were playing rock music. One of our leaders, and said this, I can't believe they did that. And then the young person said this, I did look up to them. Did. Past tense, did. You know, why just can't we live for God? Why can't we do the right thing? You say, oh, preacher, you're expecting us to be perfect. No, I'm expecting you to try. You know, try to be what you ought to be so that you're not a stumbling block to someone. Try to live for Christ. By the way, come on, just think about it. Can I help you out a little bit? Think about it. Let's just take the rock music stuff. Can I help you out a little bit? Talks about killing your mama, killing your daddy, killing the dog. Kill. Talks about doing drugs. Talks about illicit sex. Talks about robbing stores. Talks about hurting people. Come on, you keep putting that junk in your... I said junk. Yes, sir. You keep putting that junk inside of your head over and over, and you let your kids do that. Come on. Turn on a movie, and all it is rock and roll, and all this is... And you're... Come on, think.
Yes, sir.
Think. What are you allowing to go inside of their head? Think. What is it causing them to think about? I'm saying tonight, please understand, listen, the Bible here is very clear. Here was an individual, I do believe, that he suffered great pain, but he also had pain that he gave other people. Come on. Most people do not remember how you live. Most people will remember how you die. But since you don't know how you're going to die, then maybe you ought to practice how you live. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But you don't know when your appointed day is. Come on. What if you as a dad, mom, died right now? You got backslidden, you laid out of church, could have came to church, didn't come to church. Now all of a sudden your kids are walking past the casket, you're laying in state, and here's all they remember. They remember what he was like before he died. What she was like before she died. Well, I know they could have been in church, but they chose not to. I know they could have lived for God, but they chose not to. Man, I tell you what, I hope that as I get older, that I can be as faithful living, and my dear wife can be as faithful in living as we are now for Jesus Christ. You know, when you get older, things break. They do. Hearing begins to go. Memory begins to fade. Body begins to deteriorate. I'm trying to encourage you. So you ought to give God everything you've got while you can. So here he was. He had personal pain, caused others personal pain. You ready? He interrupted the preaching. He interrupted the preaching. He stopped it. Man of God had to stop everything, get up, run out, take care of the problem, interrupt it. Now watch this, if you will. All because he sat where he should not have sat, didn't pay attention, and because of that, tragedy came. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, says that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So God said, hey, I'm giving you instructions. By the way, listen, so there's personal pain. Preaching was disturbed or interrupted, disrupted. The people's perception was then determined. Wonder what the people said. Wonder what the people said. You say, well, you know, he fell out. He's laying down there. He's dead. They don't have a right to judge because he's dead. Oh, but they judge because everybody judges. By the way, you judge by saying they didn't judge. Or you just judge by saying they judged. I can't believe so-and-so is always talking about so-and-so. Well, who did you just talk about? Wasn't that so-and-so? I mean, if we're going to be fair, let's be fair all the way around. Come on. Well, I can't believe so-and-so always goes around talking about so-and-so, and you just talked about so-and-so. I mean, really, see where you are, please. Now, watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand that now the preaching was interrupted. The perception was determined. People are going to walk up, and they're going to say, man, look, he fell from up there. Man, he fell from up there. Then they're going to predetermine, or they're going to at least give their own hypothesis as to what they think did happen. By the way, let me help you a little bit. Don't think what something is until you have the facts of what it is. Somebody comes to you, hey, let me tell you what I heard. I heard that so-and-so did such and such over at somewhere. You heard or did you see it? Well, no, I didn't see it, but I heard. Never go by what you hear. It blows up. It gets bigger. It's like the blowfish. It swells. And by the way, people that like dirt always make dirt dirtier. They always do. Okay, here it is. So the people had a perception. You ready? Then you'll see this. Lastly, I'm done. You see there was a cause of the falling out, consequences of the falling out. Then you'll see the concern that was shown from those who saw the falling out. The Bible says here in verse 10, I'm finishing up. Here it says, verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him. Say, man, why did he do that? Guy was already hurting because he had the ability to help. And by the way, if you have the ability to help somebody and you see that they are fallen, then you're supposed to help them. Amen. Yes, sir. So, no, I'm not supposed to help them. So-and-so is supposed to help them. They're an assistant pastor. So-and-so. They might not see what you see. There's a reason why you see it and somebody else doesn't see it. Because after all, and by the way, did you know there was people? Watch this. I'm going to help you out a little bit. Here we go. All right. So there he is. He's up in the third loft. Here's all these people up here listening to Paul. Paul's up here preaching, long-winded, giving it everything he's got. People are paying attention, just like you are. Somebody falls out of our balcony through the back wall. There's an opening. They fall out of that opening. They fall out into the street. I'm still preaching. You probably didn't even know it. Now, before a rumor spreads, nobody did that. But here's what you think. Everybody's judging me. First off, most people don't even know you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that sometimes there are people that sit on this side of the church that don't know the people that sit on this side of the church? You understand that there's people sitting in the middle that really don't care about who's sitting on the sides of them? Do you understand that? Do you understand that some people walk down the hallway and they're very friendly? Good to see you. God bless you. Glad you're here. Other people walk down the hallway and they don't want nobody to talk to them. Do you understand that? Do you understand that some people are hyper-friendly while other people are hyperly inward? Timid. Come on. I've told great jokes to some people, but because they are so timid, they're afraid to laugh. And they were great jokes. Don't awe me. That's not right. You've heard some of my jokes, that's why. You're saying all because, yeah, really, you told a great one? Man, I missed that one. Yeah, I know you. That's what it says, right? So Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. By the way, you ready? Okay, all right, come here. Let me get some. David, come here. Fall down dead right here. Well, not dead, just fall down. Fall down. There you go. Birthday boy, come here. Brother Jonathan. Because you're more limber than I am. Besides, I'm bigger. If I fall on him, he will cease to exist. So go down over him, if you will. There we go. Just go down. Lean over his chest. There you go. Lean. Yeah, okay. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this. So here's what happens. He falls down on him. No, they didn't know CPR back then. Go ahead and add to the Bible, you know. Paul ran outside, gave him CPR. But maybe here's what it is. Maybe he just kind of leaned over him a little bit more. He felt little heart palpitations there. I don't know what he felt. I know this, that he testified, he said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Maybe God used, of course, he was an apostle. Maybe God is the one that just used him that day. I don't know. I do know this. Watch what it says. The Bible says, when he therefore was come up again, the Bible says, and had broken bread. So he did his job. All of a sudden, he comes up again, goes his way. He comes up, he goes his way. I'll use you again in a minute, David. The Bible says he therefore was come up again, had broken bread, and eaten. So Paul's taking a break. Now, understand the crowd is still there. Man. Do you understand that? Crowd didn't leave. Still there. Jonathan, a couple weeks ago, fell out at the piano. You did great. Nobody rushed it. You stayed. You were patient with me. Appreciate that. Have an understanding heart like you did. Wait a minute. So he fell out, okay, over there when the third loaf was the piano stool, okay? Went down. All right, wait a minute. Watch this. All right, so crowd is still there. Now, here's what Paul does. He goes out, lays his body over the guy, said, hey, man, still alive. And then he goes back in. Crowd is still there. So he said, I'm going to go eat. People still waiting. Paul's out eating a fish sandwich. Yeah. You know, he's drinking his carrot juice, eating fish sandwich, cleaning his teeth with the fish bones, finishing it up, having the Jewish burp. Comes back inside. The Bible says, taking a long while, says, even till the break of day, so he departed. All right, so wait a minute, watch this. And then what happens is they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. That means that they were comforted, in my understanding, a whole bunch. Amen. So, man, that's great. Here was a guy fell out of the window. Now, what's that mean? That means somebody restored him. Amen. Somebody helped him after he fell, after he was hurt. after all that was involved was hurt, somebody was there. Come on. I don't think anybody walked around and said, "Who? Hey, you're that guy, man. You're the guy that fell. You're him." I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so.
Right.
Bible says, ye which are spiritual, in Galatians chapter 6, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, by the way, before you restore such one, you got to be spiritual yourself. You know why? You're not going to restore somebody if you're not spiritual.
Amen.
It's the spiritual people that call the unspiritual people on the phone and says, "Missed you. We had church tonight. Did you forget?" By the way, just to remind you, we got church every Sunday night. It's the spiritual people that try to reach into those lives that are fallen. Fallen. Come on. Here we go. Rhea. Give the story and I'm done. So all of a sudden, David, come. You're my illustrator. David, come. Sit right there. Sitting in the third loft. Maybe he's got a couple of friends. Joseph, you're a friend. Jeremiah, you're a friend. Maybe he's got a couple of friends. Preacher's up there preaching. Preacher's long-winded preaching. Maybe he'll start carrying on. He'll start carrying on. He'll start, you know, talking. By the way, teenagers that sit in the back and adults that sit in the back are more apt to do wrong than those that sit in the front. So maybe they're talking, they're joking, they're, you know, yada, 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 you know, back and forth, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. By the way, some of you don't need to sit with your friends because you can't keep your mouth shut. So yada, 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 talking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And all of a sudden it gets boring. I mean, preacher's long-winded in preaching. He's trying to keep his eyes open. He's getting tireder by the minute, and he falls sound asleep. Sound asleep. So much that he falls out of the window. Now, what his friends do? I didn't see his friends run down and help. No doubt one of them probably looked out of the window and said, "Duh, hope he's okay." I didn't see any of his friends help. Where do you see that in the record? Where do you see that in the record? Yeah, I didn't see any of them run down and say, "Oh, no, I'm going to go get his mama." I don't see that anywhere. Don't see it anywhere. Matter of fact, I don't even know if he was missed. He fell out of the window. These guys probably didn't even miss him. They're still sleeping, still playing their Jewish games on their phones. They didn't have phones. Yeah, okay, thank you. Stone tablets. I don't know if that's what you said, but it's good. Stone tablets. You know? I mean, you know, friends gone, falling out. Hey, maybe one of them looks back and just starts laughing. Starts laughing. Yeah. Yeah, it was him. It was him. Okay. Here's what happens. They go away. Preacher comes. Preacher comes.
Get up.
Embraces the guy, said that there's still a heartbeat, think he's living, he'll be okay. He says, "Okay, since he's going to be okay, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat." Come on. Then later he comes over, reports in, I love this part, reports in, sees the man of God, before the man of God leaves, no doubt, saying, "Just want to shake your hand, say thank you." Remember all those lepers that were healed? Only one came back. Remember that? In grateful hearts.
Some of you kids need to be more grateful. You fell out, mom and dad ran to you. You need to go back, shake their hand, say, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Come on. I'm telling you. Thank you, be seated. What happens when you fall out on God? What happens? Somebody falls out. Here's what happens. Let me show you something. Somebody falls out. Oh, I don't know. Sean, come here. What's what I do? Hey, man, I want you to know I'm here for you. That's what I do as pastor. That's what I do as pastor. This is preacher now. I want you to know I'm here for you. How can I help you? You don't have to walk by yourself. I want you to know that. Look, I'll walk beside you every single step of the way. You got Bible questions, I'll answer them. Need encouragement, I'll do my best. I or someone else will be right there to encourage you. You got it? You understand? Listen, man, we can make it. You understand? We can make it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Hey, listen, let's do some things spiritual. Want to? Let's go soul winning. Want to go soul winning? Want to go? Hey, I can get you a partner this Saturday. If you want, we can go together. Hey, how about this? How about, we got a good youth department. Hey, how about, got a good youth director, a youth director's wife. Hey, we got great people in the music department. Really do. Really do. Hey, we got some good deacons. Good deacons. They really do. They know how to deek. By the way, somebody that cares about you, they'll want to walk beside you. They're not going to say, that's not it. That is not it. You know, we have to understand, thank you, buddy, you did super. We have to understand we're a church family. Do you understand that? My job as pastor is to restore. So-and-so did wrong. Okay. Understand that. Well, don't they need to be disciplined? Yeah, or, yeah, being disciplined. What are you going to do about it, preacher? Love, restore, walk beside, pray, amen. Encourage, amen. Be there for victory. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. Now, let me ask you something. Eutychus, your kid, your friend, stay with me, your mom, your dad, falls out the window. What are you going to do? Is he going to stand by and go, looks like it hurt. Are you going to run help? Love, encourage. Now, I'll tell you what, several ways to love and encourage. I'm done. Here it is. I can't swim. So what's that got to do with anything? Has to do a lot with drowning. Can't swim. By the way, never wanted to learn how to swim. Never had a desire. I just can't swim. Say, what do you do if somebody's drowning? Hey, help that guy. He's right there, going down third time. He's bubbling now. Help him. Say, what do you do? Hey, here's a lasso. Catch. Here's another one. Catch. Here's a body. He can swim. Catch. Say, you're not going to die then? You kidding? He'd drown for sure. I try and swim over there best way I can. Get over to where he is and say, brother, help me. So you got to have some wisdom. You got to have some wisdom.
you have a past alcoholic problem, then you don't go into the bar to try and help somebody get out of the bar. You got a problem with dirty magazines, dirty pictures? You better get something on your computer, sir, ma'am, that will protect you. Or you will fall over and over and over and over and over and over again. Come on. You have a problem with obeying authority. You have a problem with dressing right. Hey, get the right type of people in front of you. I mean, get people in front of you that help you. And I thank God, you know, our leaders, they walk right, talk right, dress right, act right. I thank God for that. Hey, that's an example. Now, everybody's not going to do that. But thank God for those that do set at a place where somebody can look to them and say, hey, that's neat. Somebody's doing it. See, somebody's got to run to the rescue. Somebody has to do that. Come on. Give you a last account. When I was in Bible college, I'm telling you how it is. I'm telling you how it is. I'm just telling you how it is. And a true story. Very true story. We had a guy that was in our deaf department. Partially, he could hear, partially not. And he and I, one other guy, there was a private beach. We went to it. Nobody else was on it. Private beachhead. Just us guys. True story. He went out. He got in trouble. Now, I didn't go in. I just went for the fun and the free sandwiches. I was up there reading a book. I didn't care for it. Hey, whatever. But he got out there and he got in trouble. And I looked at my friend and I said, I think he's in trouble. Now, my friend was asleep. He's snoring. I woke him up. I hit him. And I had some excitability about me at that time, so I hit him hard. And I said, get up. I said, I think he's in trouble. He swam out, got the guy, brought him back in. You know, sometimes you will see, but you don't know how to help, and so you can get somebody else to help, because after all, what you see. Come on. You know what I want for our kids here? Just for you to serve Jesus Christ. Look for you to grow up, grow old, get married, have kids, Christ first all the way. And you can do that. If you don't fall out the window. You can do that if you don't get around the wrong people. You can do that. Be careful not to fall out on God. Father, bless what you pray. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.